For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller. A performer's musical journey usually includes countless hours in the practice room, time spent poring over scores, numerous recitals, auditions, and competitions. In short, no small amount of drive and determination. And for musicians like violinist Kristen Lee, that musical journey may very well involve travel in a more literal sense, a move to another country. Kristen, who was born in South Korea and began studying violin at the age of 5, remained in the United States in order to continue her study of the instrument with a teacher who saw her potential. Since then, she's obtained her master's degree at the Juilliard School of Music, won a variety of awards, including the 2015 Avery Fisher Career Grant, and has served on the faculty of several chamber music festivals. Kristen is currently a faculty member at the Aaron Copland School of Music at Queens College, a member of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, and the co-founder and artistic director of the Emerald City Music Chamber Series in Seattle. Recently, I had the chance to speak with Kristen about her musical journey, including her special interest in 20th and 21st century American music, and the Americana program that she and pianist Julio Elizalde will be sharing at Clemson University this Thursday. Here are a few highlights of the conversation. Kristen, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's safe to say that you're pretty familiar with the violin. How long have you been playing?
So now, I guess, yeah, this marks my 25th year of performing and playing the violin. I started playing when I was about 5 or 6, so you could guess my age.
And your studies on the instrument were enough to keep you in the U.S.
Yeah, it's actually quite an interesting story. So just a little bit of a background about my family. My mother was a pretty significant opera singer, and she was a founding member of the Seoul City Opera back in Seoul, South Korea. My father was a chemical engineering professor. So I grew up in a pretty musical family. So I took piano lessons and violin lessons from a very young age through the influences of my mother. So I did start back in South Korea, where I was born. And we moved to the States when I was about 7, mainly because my father was taking a sabbatical, and he was a visiting professor to a university down in the South. And we were planning to just go back to Korea after a year, after he finishes his visiting professorship. But we ended up just staying because we found this wonderful violin teacher who really felt like I had a lot of talent and felt like this would be a good place for me to stay and continue my musical education. So I'm still here, and now I'm playing and performing the violin as my work and professionally.
So violin was very important to you from an early age.
Yeah, but actually, I think the piano was something that was much closer to my heart when I was very, very young when I first started. Because we had initially thought that we were going to go back to Korea after a year, my parents thought, oh, okay, she's still young enough. You know, she could take a year off because piano is such a hassle to bring to the States.
Sure.
So they said, okay, why don't we just focus on the violin for now? But then one thing led to another. But no regrets. I'm very happy that I got to choose this instrument.
Would you say that early experience for and love of the piano has helped you when it comes to collaborating with accompanists?
Yes, I think because I always have gravitated towards a lot of piano repertoire, and I love, you know, even to this day, I love listening to piano music. And obviously, you know, the piano is much more of a harmonic and a chordal instrument versus the violin, which is more of a melodic instrument. And I think, yeah, the love for the piano for me has always allowed me to really think in that sense of listening to more harmony. I mean, I listen to the melodies too, but I really gravitate towards a lot of harmonic progressions and thinking of music in that perspective. But I think in terms of collaborations with other pianists, you know, it was something that I had to develop over the years. I really found the love of chamber music about 5 or 6 years ago. And before, I think when I was younger and really focusing on just mastering the violin, you know, the pianist would always just be there. But for now, it's really, you know, a very much of a duo when I work with pianists. Regardless of what the repertoire is, it's really about, you know, coming together as two artists and really collaborating with joint efforts. So it's really more about chamber music rather than one person being more dominant over the other or anything like that. And this particular program that I'm going to be playing in at Clemson is definitely going to be showcasing a lot of that element for sure.
That's right. On January 18th, you and pianist Julio Elizalde will be performing a program entitled Americana. I want to ask you about that title, how that title came about, and what all's on this program.
This is actually kind of a project that I'm launching for myself. And this particular concert at Clemson, this is actually my first recital of 2018. So it's going to be sort of launching this new project that I am putting together, which is titled Americana. And I have several different programs that themes around the American influences and, you know, just celebrating American music in general. And the reason why I wanted to pursue this was because, sort of having told you a little bit about where I come from, originally from Korea and then moving to the States at as a young age, and now living here and really associating myself as an American and, you know, how I'm living about as an American in this country, I just wanted to celebrate that and showcase that and just, you know, show sort of my patriotism in that way. And just celebrate more of American music. And I think also in classical music, a lot of the times the American sound or the American music is a little bit underrated, but the influences that the American music has brought is really, really significant to a lot of other compositions. So it was something that I felt very passionate about and it was close to my heart. So it's really exciting that I could really launch this at Clemson. The program that I'm going to be performing is going to feature, obviously, a lot of American composers. But on the program is also going to be Maurice Ravel's Violin Sonata, a very, very well-known work by this French composer, Ravel. And the reason why I chose this work is because he was super, super influenced by George Gershwin, which, you know, we all know as one of our most celebrated American composers. And his style and his jazz influence was so significant to Ravel that this Violin Sonata was really in the style of Gershwin. So not only are we just putting music together that's by American composers, but the people that have been affected by the American sound as well. A lot of the works on the program, if you see just the names of the composers, it might not be so familiar to a lot of people because I'm not playing something like Mozart or Beethoven, but rather I'm playing works by like Novacek and Kevin Putz and William Bolcom. And these composers are definitely more late 20th and 21st century composers. However, extremely accessible and really including a lot of American styles, especially with ragtime, and just really celebrating a lot of that kind of sound. I think it'll be sort of a new experience, but also with a lot of familiar elements for the audience. One of the things that I feel very passionate about as a violinist and as an artist is that, yes, we have the classics and we love what we listen to that we're familiar with, but it's also important to understand that that music is continuing to evolve and it's continuing to be composed. There's always something new that's happening now. And if you think about it, back when Mozart and Bach and Beethoven, these guys, when they were writing their music, it was completely new to their time. So I think it's really important as performers to continue that legacy, to always bring in something new, which is sort of kind of following the tradition of what they had started with anyway. So we get to celebrate what's old, but also what's current as well.
Are there any of the pieces by some of these less well-known composers, maybe ones that aren't household names that you'll be performing, are there any of these that have a special meaning for you?
Well, I think the program as a whole actually has a very special meaning to me. What I've always felt very passionate about is juxtaposing, you know, music by someone we're familiar with, like Ravel, with someone like William Bolcom. I guess if I had to choose a piece that really stands out, that's really personal, is probably that Bolcom Duo Fantasy. William Bolcom was a composer who's very much with us now. This work, I believe, was written back in the 80s, 1980s. And the reason why it's special to me is because I think this piece is probably one of the very first contemporary, quote-unquote, contemporary works I've ever performed. I discovered this piece when I was at the Juilliard School in the pre-college program, before I was in the college division. So I think maybe I was about 15 or 16. I was given an opportunity to give a recital at the Louvre Museum in Paris. And the Louvre had requested that on that program, I have to include a piece that was written after something like the 70s. And they specifically asked for an American composer. And prior to that, I don't think I've ever played any modern music at all. And so I was forced to look for something that was different. And so I went to the Juilliard Library and I was just skimming through different names and trying to find something that, you know, I would like. And then I sort of randomly stumbled upon this work. And the score to this work at the Juilliard Library was actually just like all scribbled up and it was handwritten. It wasn't even actually published correctly. But I think maybe the writing of that maybe was what intrigued me first. So I took it out and then started reading it. And like the beginning of the piece starts very esoteric and sort of hard to really comprehend. And then it like just merges into this beautiful tune that's very tonal and then like jumps right into this ragtime like dancing music. If you were to put a little story to it, it feels like you're entering some world that seems extremely foreign. And then you allow yourself to sort of be okay with this foreign place. So then he brings you to this familiar place. And then you realize that you were sort of in a dream or something. The structure of it is really, really neat because the core of the piece is what's so familiar to our ears. But what bookends it is something that's really out there. And so I just thought it was really neat. And it was the first time I thought, oh, wow, modern music could actually be really fun, too. And, you know, the young 16-year-old self I was then, this was sort of the eye-opening piece for me to really be more curious about what music is being written now and what else is out there. So probably this work is the Bolcom Duo Fantasy is what's closest to my heart.
Did you help to bring that piece to prominence? You said the score or the manuscript was kind of all scribbled up.
I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I think so, kind of, because no one has really, I don't think I know of any recordings that are out there of this work. Certainly no like videos on YouTube or anything like that. So I was very adamant about like really trying to get this piece out to the world. I mean, it's funny that I was trying to get it out to the world when it was actually written back 30, 40 years ago, but I've been trying to program it more. And the more I performed, everybody was reacting to it so positively. And one of the places that I pitched this piece to was at the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, where I'm a member of. And so they programmed it, and now they've, you know, produced a beautiful video of this, the performance that I gave of it. So now it's out in the world for people to see, and I'm curious what the Clemson audience is going to think, and I'm also really excited that they could hear it too. And I'm pretty sure that it's never been performed on that stage, so that's very exciting.
Well, Kristen, all the best to you and Julio as you collaborate for this recital, and excited very much to hear about your Americana program, and particularly that Bolcom Duo Fantasy. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Highlights of a conversation I had with violinist Kristen Lee. Kristen will join pianist Julio Elizalde for a program of 20th and 21st century works written or influenced by American composers. The event is this Thursday, January 18th at 7:30 p.m. and is part of the UTC Chamber Music Series at Clemson University's Brooks Center for the Performing Arts. More information at clemson.edu/brooks. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller.